Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, oh glory, faint the breeze.
Poverty profiteering, illegal aliens allowed to vote on election day. And that's something that you need to be aware of. It's a scandal here in San Francisco that they even put it on the ballot that non-citizens who, quote, have children in the San Francisco school district schools will be allowed to vote in school district elections. That's not the camel in the tent. That's the herd of camels in the tent. Not only that, they can register and vote that same day. And, of course, that's the recipe for massive vote fraud. So you need to be aware of that. And, of course, one of the things we discovered, Californians Against Voter Fraud, and we have it up on our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas YouTube, that the Republicans were blamed for taking foreign money. This has been going on for at least 15 years with the Democrats. They've been getting money from Taiwan, Canada. Consulates have been used not only for money laundering, but also for voter registration and using it as a site to vote. The Philippine consulate here in San Francisco is one of the worst. The Greek consulate was involved. We believe the Mexican consulate may have been involved. We're trying to run that one down. There's so many things they're doing. Like one of the bogus nonprofit organizations, one of their employees was using the Mexican consulate as a mail drop, using a courier, someone who worked for the Mexican government. And God knows, you know, if you don't know anything about diplomatic couriers, those bags are sacrosanct. They cannot be opened. And that goes back to Queen Elizabeth, the first time she used greyhounds for her as a symbol for her diplomatic courier's bags. And, of course, all kinds of things have been carried in diplomatic courier's bags, and we strongly suspect, given the past behavior of some of the people involved with these bogus nonprofits and working at the airports and ship ports, that they were involved in heavy-duty drug trafficking. So let's go to the birthdays today, since people are in the mood for a revolution. Let's hope it's a peaceful one. And that this is very relevant to what's going on in France. I understand from my sources that the communists and the Soros types are behind this nationwide uprising or civil insurrection in France. Today is the birthday of a guy who was one of the people involved in the French Revolution, Georges Danton. All these guys. Robespierre was a lawyer. He was gay. He sent many people to the guillotine, and he himself ended up there. Danton, I believe, went, and there's one other one, the triumvirate of terror, as it were. And we're going to have something very interesting. It was done by a magician, Vietnam vet, who's from Sacramento. We'll be putting it up on YouTube, and you'll see something very interesting about the guillotine. And I guess the survivors of the guillotine would wish that this type of guillotine was used on their deceased relatives. Also today, communist history, we have the birthday of Leon Trotsky. That was his assumed name. His family name was Bronstein, and he is the uncle of Philip Bronstein, who was formerly the editor of the San Francisco Examiner. He married who was that awful actress in Fatal Attraction. He was married to her, and I guess they're divorced now. And then in publishing, again, we have John S. Knight, born in West Virginia, of Knight Ritter Papers. And then we had, of the politicians, we have François Mitterrand, the socialist president of France, who was, he had a mistress. And at his funeral, both the mistress and the wife showed up. I guess they didn't bare their nails. We didn't see anything, at least when the cameras were on them. He was the first socialist prime minister in a long time in France, because they had all the Gaullists who were presidents of France since Charles de Gaulle. Then our Secretary of State and wannabe president, Hillary Clinton, was born today. I happened to have a meeting, or I met her father, and he made some unfortunate racial comments. And he made a comment about Bill Clinton. When I met him, Hillary was going to marry Bill, and he said to me, I have to go to Arkansas. My daughter's married this guy who thinks he's going to be president. And that was when Bill Clinton was on the media faces of Time magazine, publications like that. And I said, well, I'll never vote for him, and I never have, because I really think he's a flimflam man. Incidentally, in our interview coming up, at that time this interview was done with Mayor and Ambassador George Christopher, he remarked about he knew every president since Harry Truman. Since Herbert Hoover, excuse me. And he did not like Bill Clinton. He thought he was had no ethics. The phrase was, they have no shame, Bill and Hillary. That's what he said. And when he lived across the street from the Fairmont Hotel, which is where all the presidents stay when they come to San Francisco. And he always went across the street to pay his respects to the president, but he did not and would not do it when Bill and Hillary were in town. Well, it's her birthday today, and we'll see if who is it that's predicting that she will be president in 2012? God help us if she is. And also, those of you who watch the game shows, it's Pat Sajak's birthday. And let's see, of the famous deaths, this is the father of the English Navy, one of the greatest English kings. Alfred the Great died in 901. He's the founder of the English Navy, just as Peter the Great was the founder of the Russian Navy. And we had John Barry and John Paul Jones, I guess it's disputed, they were the founders of the American Navy, the U.S. Navy. I don't know who's the founder of the French Navy. And then, now this is interesting, we have three assassinations today. We have Prince Ito of the Meiji family. They were the ruling family of Japan. And Emperor Meiji was the first great emperor. There's a connection to San Francisco of the Russo-Japanese War and with Jack London, who was born here. And the recent Russian ship that visited here in June of 2010, the Vareg, that was the second ship named, but to carry that name. It's a famous ship that was, her crew was very heroic in the Russo-Japanese War and the naval battles. It's one of my favorite wars to study and talk about. Then we had the president of Korea, Park Chung-hee. He was assassinated today. And then we had, assassination today. Chung-hee, Barkley, and then also today, William Paley, or Nay Palevsky, from Chicago. He started CBS, and he married a woman who was Episcopalian, Babe. And he brought in a lot of great news people, and some controversial, Walter Cronkite, my favorite, Trout, Charles Collingwood, great mellifluous voices, Edward R. Murrow, somewhat controversial. And he built CBS into the premier network. Also, his son is on Fox now, who did 60 Minutes, Russian Jewish family. Wallace, Walachinsky was the original name, from Chicago. And a lot of our media people are from the Midwest, have you noticed? And we have a couple of Canadians. We had the guy at ABC. He was a broadcaster for Canadian Broadcasting, Nova Scotia. And he was also at the Bilderberg meetings in Holland, that notorious controversial hotel. Then we had on Robert McNeil on PBS, which is really going down in the ratings and ethics. And one of these days I'll discuss my problems when I worked at a PBS station here in San Francisco. And then we had, who else died? And then, interestingly, we had the Model United Nations when I was in college, and we represented Norway. And this is some interesting Norwegian history. For a long time, the Swedes had controlled Norway, and in 1905, same time as the Russian-Japanese War, they split up. So the Norwegians became an independent country, and the Swedes, who at one time were among the greatest warriors in Europe, Charles XII, he was gay, supposedly, and they were always giving the Russians a bad time up there in the Baltic Sea, and they were trying to hem the Russians in. And at the Battle of Patoka, Peter the Great defeated the Swedish armies, and that was the end of Sweden as a great military power. They were also great shipbuilders. The Vasa was one of their, it's a ship that was recently discovered in the mud in Stockholm Harbor, and was recently brought up and preserved, and I guess it's in a museum. It's something to see, one of the biggest warships, wooden warships built. And then in 1911, the Philadelphia A's beat the Giants. So we'll see what happens if the San Francisco Giants, formerly the New York Giants, beat the Texas Rangers. Won't be any joy in Mudville, as they said. And now I'm going to play the interview of how, this is part one of San Francisco's greatest mayor, George Christopher. I'm going to play an interview of how he lured the New York Giants to San Francisco. They were going to go to L.A. There were some problems down in L.A. at Chavez Ravine. The Dodgers had already gone down there. Chavez Ravine, I'm told, they just discovered oil in that area. So that's going to be interesting. You'll have to relocate that park. But originally it was supposed to be a site for low-income housing, and that was a scandal. It's not talked about much, and I did some research on it. But here goes. Here goes the pitch for how the New York Giants were lured to San Francisco, part one.
Anyway, you started to say, ask me something else.
About the Giants, how did you lure them here?
Well, that's a long story, too. We all know that we aspired to be a major league city. And at that time, there was a lot of discussion about trying to get the Boston Red Sox here, only because Joe Cronin was a manager of the Boston team. And after making a few inquiries, I realized that there was no chance of getting them to come out to San Francisco. Well, we all liked Joe Cronin, but still the move was not feasible. And then one day I learned that Walter O'Malley had been visiting Los Angeles. And I said, well, Los Angeles is a lucrative area, but if he can't possibly move to Los Angeles with his Dodgers, because if he did, certainly the Giants would not necessarily move, because how can two major teams leave that area all at one time? But so I called Stoneham, and I went back there. But I used to leave at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so I wouldn't be away, and then confer with him over Saturday and Sunday. And that was some pretty hard, they were pretty strong discussions, because I had to sit down with Stoneham, and he liked his scotch, and I had to take a few shots myself accordingly to keep company. And the thing that impressed me, however, was that Walter O'Malley was always present. Yeah. Always present. So that I was trying to put two and two together and say, well, why is he here? If he's here because he must have some kind of a deal going on with Norrie Poulsen, who was then the mayor of Los Angeles. And I think it's only reasonable to assume that if he moved to Los Angeles, he would want the Giants to come to San Francisco for the competition.
Mario, we got to get Jason Stone for Rich now, okay?
So, and then the second thought came to me, well, it's impossible for the Giants and the Dodgers to simultaneously move. It's just beyond comprehension. But I came back and I called Norrie Poulsen, who was then the mayor of Los Angeles. I said, Norrie, are you consulting with O'Malley to bring the Dodgers there? Oh, he says, I can't talk about those things. He said, no. He denied it vehemently, absolutely denied it. So I waited a week, and I went back to New York. Again, there was O'Malley and Stoneham. And I'd arrive there about 10 o'clock in the evening. I'd be up until all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I was kind of getting to be a nervous wreck, all night sessions. And they wouldn't tell me anything, but they were, and I surmised that the delay must have been because Walter O'Malley, who was a very shrewd, I must say, he was he of the two.
Well, there'll be part two of that fascinating interview, and that was done before the late George Christopher, former mayor, ambassador, businessman, before he died. And we also did a TV show. Other things that people, it's interesting, when you come to San Francisco, you, first, if you're driving in from the airport, the first thing you see is Candlestick Park. And he gets into the allegations of cheap cement was used to build it. But during the earthquake in 1989, there's some shots, I think I have them in our files, of the ballpark shaking but standing. And it was a baseball game, I think it was World Series going on in 1989. I better check on that one. But it's very fascinating how the New York Giants were lured to San Francisco. And one key thing, that one characteristic of this city was the factor that was overcome. And it was also a factor in why the United Nations, which met here and which was started here in after World War II with President Harry Truman at the Opera House. There's some more history there. We'll bring it up. Why the United Nations did not set up their building and offices here in San Francisco. They went to New York, where Rockefeller provided the land. But it's something very simple that affected their decision not to establish the offices of the United Nations here in San Francisco. And it also affected the fact that the giants weren't going to come here because of it, unless this one factor was resolved. We'll get into this in our second interview, a part two of our interview with George Christopher, and other things when he talks about the qualities that a mayor should have, how business in a city should be treated. And he was a businessman. He was a diplomat. He was a shrewd salesman, a legal immigrant from Greece when he was a child, a baby. In fact, I think he was 2 months old, I think he told me. And fascinating man. And he also talked about the New York Stock Exchange. He made a lot of money with his dairy. He started Christopher Dairies, very successful dairy. I think it was sold to Borden. And he said, I have my money in the stock market until I learned that at the 3 o'clock bell in New York time, East Coast time, he said, the big boys go behind the scenes and rig things for the next day. And he said, when I learned that, I took all my money out of stocks and put them into bank leases and that. And he said, they got to pay me. Of course, if he was around today, he probably wouldn't get, he'd have to pull the mortgages and he wouldn't get his rent payments. Considering if what is being forecast that there's going to be a tsunami with all of this mortgage mess. And I've said this for 10 years, telling my friends and realtors that these properties are overvalued. And what's going to happen is people are taking out mortgages and overvalued property. You're not going to be able to pay for them. And also people who couldn't and shouldn't be involved with buying property because they couldn't afford it. Unfortunately, what's happened is a lot of public housing in San Francisco and other cities like Chicago is on prime land that the real estate racketeers want to develop. So they destroy public housing, and that's what's happened here in San Francisco. We're only 49 square miles and seven hills, very hilly city. The other thing you should pay attention to, there's what I call bicycle anarchy. I'm hearing from people live in the suburbs also about how these bicyclists, they want all these special rights, privileges, and exemptions, but they don't pay for anything. If they hit somebody on the street, and this has happened, they run people over, and you can't injure people with a bicycle, guess who pays? If the cyclist doesn't have insurance, they don't have a bell. Remember when you were a kid, your little tricycle, you had the little ringing bell to warn people to get out of the way? A lot of them, most of them, do not have those type of warnings. They ride at night. They do not have front lights or red lights in the back of the vehicle. They should be wearing helmets because some of the streets are very rough. But if they get, one was bicyclist pulled in front of a muni bus here in San Francisco. This happened 2 weeks ago. He was crushed. Guess who's going to pay for the death and all of that? The city and the taxpayers will pay for that. And when bicyclists get injured, whether they are in the wrong and they don't obey the rules of the road, which most of them don't, guess who pays? The public pays their medical bills. So they've got to be made responsible. Some of the states require license plates on the bicycles. We'll put that up on our Amicus Veritas, YouTube site also. You'll see the pictures. And we've taken we're video, urban video videographers, and you will see a slice of life, everything from dogs on the street with their owners, some interesting, even cats, and other sights of the streets of San Francisco and other places, which are amusing. Also, we have the Vietnam vet I told you about, who was a magician, recently attended a birthday party where he performed. And we're going to call that segment, "A Bird in a," you've heard, "A Bird in a Hand is Better Than Two in a Bush, but what about one up your sleeve?" And this Houdini from Sacramento, California should be entertaining. So we're trying to give you a wide variety of videos, which are documented, whether it's history, whether it's dealing with public corruption, which is how to protect yourself. Also, here's another thing you should do. Wherever you drive, I highly recommend, because of all the fraud and the people who cause accidents and then hit and run, which is there's more and more of that, bicyclists, people on who are texting, who are in the cell phones, carry a digital camera. The price is coming down so fast and the quality is going up so fast. You can get a decent video camera for under a little one that you can carry in your shirt pocket for under $50, and the quality is very good. You can see a license plate, you can see a person's face from X amount of distance, and I highly recommend that you protect yourself, because ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt hard and cost you, and often does when you ignore basic protection. So we're going to next week we're going to it's election day Tuesday, so we're going to switch our formats. We'll probably do one Monday, Wednesday to deal with the aftermath of the elections. Of course they'll be doing absentee ballot voting, and I don't know if all the military personnel got their ballots, and then we'll be doing a wrap up on Friday. So we're formatting that, and also our go to our AmicusVeritas.org master site. We have Californians Against Voter Fraud, Judicial Sodomites up there, as I said, judges, and the whole legal constituency in America is one of the least reported on, one of the least looked at, and one of the least we know about, yet it affects so much of everybody's life. And also go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, and we're going to end with our favorite ending song, which is very appropriate. Where is it? Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony. Up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Finishing up there.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Change that to Democrat.
We should make Jack
Pelosi.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met 'em.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children. He's a game is rough.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
night, people. See you Wednesday. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Friday. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you for listening.